1 Corinthians chapter number 9, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says this. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are ye not my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Paul writes his letter to his friends back at Corinth. And these friends were fellow believers in Jesus Christ. Many were likely believers because of Paul's ministry. Paul was not their pastor, but he was their missionary. He was an evangelist of sorts. And there were many people who needed to hear the gospel. And God had not called Paul to stay in any one place indefinitely, but he moved him from place to place. Paul's heart, though, was with the church at Corinth and with every church and every believer that he had had the opportunity to reach and to fellowship with. And I believe this is evidenced by this letter. Had Paul had the attitude that his work was done and it was God's will that he move on, he would not have written. He wouldn't have written back to them. He would have been done. I've shared the gospel. I've established churches. I've worked with the men who have been called to be the pastors, and now I'm moving on. But that was not Paul's heart. Instead, Paul saw that their growth in the Lord, he saw their growth in the Lord as an extension of his ministry, I believe, to reach the people with the gospel. And this portion of Paul's letter makes it apparent that there would have been some who attacked the truth of God's word by attacking the messenger. And I don't think that that's very different than what goes on today in many situations. Now we call it intolerance, but that's really about attacking the messenger when you don't like the truth. When you don't like what God has to say, then you attack those who deliver it. There were some who challenged Paul's motives, his calling, his position in the church. And Paul addresses his critics in this portion of his letter. Paul defends his calling. He defends his work, and he declares that he understands what an honor it is to work for the Lord, to be called. Yet he finds it a very humbling experience. And Paul offers himself up as an example for those who serve in the ministry today, I believe. In all that we do, we must first and foremost remember to honor God. That's got to be the first thing that we do above all else, is that we have got to honor God. And 2 points today I want to share with you about Paul and his ministry is that he was, first of all, honored to be an apostle. And I entitled the message today, Honored But Humble. And Paul was indeed honored to be an apostle, but he was also humbled to be an apostle. And Paul lays his himself out there, and I believe as we kind of dig a little deeper into Paul's life and Paul's calling, we will see the man who saw it an honor to be used for the Lord, and a man who thought that, you know, he could not ever put himself before the work, before the ministry that God had allowed him to be a part of. So first of all, let's look at how he was honored to be an apostle. Let's read again 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1. He says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Paul was honored to be that apostle, an apostle of Christ, not because of what the title meant, but because of the opportunities for service it afforded him. He asked 4 questions of his readers to establish for those who question or examine him that he had in fact, and the answers I think would show that he had in fact been ordained by Christ. The first question he asked was, am I not an apostle? Now the word apostle means one sent forth. And Jesus is the one sent forth as God sent Christ to be our apostle, to bring forth the gospel message, to show us God's heart. And Paul himself described Jesus Christ as the apostle sent forth by God to bring God's good news to us. Let's flip over to Hebrews chapter 3. Let's start there. Hebrews chapter 3, that's on page 884 in your Pew Bibles. In Hebrews chapter 3, a letter that Paul has also been accredited with writing, Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, this. He says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house." And I believe that this is where Paul got his motivation to be the type of apostle that he was. He understood that it was Christ who built the house. Amen. And that he was just part of this house. And he says, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Amen. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end." So Paul makes the distinction between being an apostle and being the apostle and the high priest of our faith. The apostle, Jesus Christ, appointed men to be his apostles and to carry forth the gospel. He gave them his commandment for their journeys and set them forth. Now, again, Paul was not one of the original 12, but it's important for us to understand what God ordained for the original 12. And I want to take you back to there. Look at Matthew chapter 10, page 710 in your Pew Bibles. What instructions did God give to the original apostles as he was preparing them to go out and do his work? Matthew chapter 10, just a few verses beginning at verse number 5. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat." So God has ordained these 12 to go out. He ordained them to not enter into the land of the Gentiles. Now, in contrast to Paul, Paul's ministry was primarily to the Gentiles. And Paul was not one of the original 12, but in evidence of his apostleship, God gave him the same gifts. God gave him the same promises that he had made for the first 12. And Paul preached the kingdom of God was indeed at hand. And Paul healed to evidence the love of God as he preached the gospel. You know, when I think, flip over to Acts chapter 28, page 828. I think one of the things that have been lost in the modern day church, and I'll use quotes when I say that, is that the modern day church, some in the modern day church believe that healing is to be an evidence of the man and of his power. Paul, on the other hand, Paul used healing to evidence that God was working in the lives of people, that God wanted to draw people to himself. But God gave to Paul the same powers that he gave to the original 12 to go out to preach that the kingdom of gospel of God was at hand. And so that Paul could ask the question, "Am I not an apostle?" And he had evidence to show that God had indeed ordained him. And we see that beginning in Acts chapter 28, beginning at verse number 1. It says, "And when they had escaped," now this is, I'm going to give you a little background. Paul was on a ship, and there was a shipwreck. And Paul had declared that all would survive the shipwreck if they all stayed together, all stayed on the boat. And there was indeed the shipwreck, and they did indeed all escape. And verse number 1 is where we pick up there. He says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain, and because of the cold. Now, it's important for us to see how God is going to use Paul, because we begin with a very general description of what the people were like. They were not believers. They were not Jews. They were barbarians. They were a people who would not have known who Jesus was, and Paul had an opportunity to share his faith. Verse number 3 says, "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.'" So now they were a superstitious people as well. So he says, "And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him, and he healed him. So when this was done, others also who had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary." Paul had an opportunity to take forth the message and to show himself to be an apostle of Christ and to heal people so that God might be glorified. So he said, "Am I not an apostle?" Well, the evidence shows that Paul is. The second question Paul asks is, "Am I not free?" He said, since I am an apostle," and the answer to that question is yes, "do I have the same rights as do the other apostles? Am I not free to serve God?" In chapter 8, in answering the question, in chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians, in answering the question about food sacrificed to idols, Paul said that we could eat the food that was sacrificed to idols because we know in our hearts that there is but one God and none other. But then he said, "But don't let that liberty of yours become a stumbling block to someone who does not believe." So the believer, we're free. We're free to exercise our faith and however we want to exercise our faith, as long as we do not contradict the word of God. Was not Paul an apostle? Yeah, he was. But Paul also declared that he would not ever let his liberty become a stumbling block because he honored God above all else. You know, I like what Paul said about the meat. He says, if this meat causes a brother to offend, then I won't eat another piece of meat for as long as the world stands. Am I not free? He says, yes, I am. Third question, have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? You know, so many title themselves as apostles today. And they do so as a status symbol and as a sign of their spiritual importance. They do it for honor. You know, they want to call themselves apostles and all these other titles they apply to themselves. But the question really is are they evidencing what Christ has done for them in their heart? And do they have a heart to see lost people come to know Christ as Savior? That's where Paul was. He wasn't the kind of person who was looking for a title. He was an apostle because Christ had called him to be. And he was an apostle because he had in fact seen Jesus Christ. He didn't walk and talk with him like Matthew, Mark, and Luke did. But he saw him just the same, and he learned his way and he learned his word. And Paul so many times recited his testimony, the testimony that was recorded for us in Acts chapter 9. Flip over there. Acts chapter 9. It's on page 809. Paul's testimony of how he came to know Christ, he recites it time and time again to evidence how that Jesus changed his life. How that when he saw Jesus for himself, that he became a new man. That he had a new outlook on life. He had a new mission. And in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse number 3, we see how it all played out for Paul. Paul was on his way to Damascus. He had received permission to go and to persecute the Christians there. Verse number 3 says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. I tell you what, Paul had an experience there. And I believe that Paul was a man who knew the gospel. He knew the word of God, I should put it that way. The Bible tells us that he had studied at the feet of men like Gamaliel. And he had learned the scriptures. And it was because of his knowledge of the scriptures that he persecuted the church so badly. That he had not been convinced that Jesus Christ was in fact the Messiah. And so he fought to defend what he thought to be true. But on the road to Damascus, he met the one whom he had studied so much about in the scriptures. And Jesus revealed himself to Paul that day. And you know, the one thing I like beautiful about this is that it shows that salvation is immediate. That forgiveness is immediate. That Paul did not have to wait. He didn't have to go through seminary. He didn't have to go through classes. He didn't have to go back and meet with the disciples. He didn't have to do any of that. Immediately, when Jesus showed himself to him, he recognized him. He said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? So here he is. He's lost his sight. And beginning in verse number 9, it says, And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision, and a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done by thy saints, to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. And let me tell you something. I believe not only did God give these words to Ananias, but Ananias would have given these words to Paul to share with him that God had an awesome, awesome honor in store for him. He says, He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately, the Bible says, there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Immediately. So he asked the question of those who examined him, Am I an apostle? Yes, I am. Here's the evidence. Am I free? Yes, I have the same liberties. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Yes, on the road to Damascus. Then he asked one final question. Are not ye my work in the Lord? Translation. God called me to declare his kingdom is at hand. He called me to carry forth the good news of Jesus Christ and his salvation and his forgiveness of sin, his mercy and his grace, his cleansing. And I brought the message and you heard it. And God reached you and he changed you. He says, and you are the evidence that I came in the name of the Lord. Am I an apostle? Yes, I am. Am I free? Yes, I am. Have I seen Jesus? Yes, I am. Are you not my work in the Lord? Yes, you are. He says, because if I have not been an apostle to others, I am surely an apostle to you, because I have witnessed what God has done in you and you are the seal. He says, even if I ever had any doubt, he says, you are the evidence of that. So Paul had seen God fulfill his mission in Corinth, and he trusted the Corinthian people to see that as well. One last thing, then we'll move on from here. Go back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, page 841 in your pew Bibles. So he shows them that they were his work, that they were the evidence that God had called him on this mission. And in the beginning of this letter, he declared that to them as well. In 1 Corinthians, page 841 in your pew Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, he declared them to be his work. He declared them to be his evidence that God was using his ministry to bring people into the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says this, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, again declaring himself to be an apostle, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. This is the seal of Paul's apostleship, that God had allowed him to preach the gospel in Corinth, that people there had been sanctified through Jesus Christ, that the people had answered the call, that they had been declared saints by the word of God, and that they were that their faith was in line with the faith of all those who placed their trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. He went on to say, grace be unto you, verse 3, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you until the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. They were the seal of his apostleship. And let me tell you something. I believe that we too are the seal of Paul's apostleship, because God inspired Paul to write these words that are still alive and drawing people and strengthening people in the ways and the will of God. We are the seal. Was he an apostle? Yes, he was. And he was honored very much to be so, but he was very, very humble. He was very humble. He didn't wear the title for privilege among the people, but to identify himself with the one who called him out of darkness and into the marvelous light of God. Amen. So let's look at the man who was honored but yet humble. Let's go back to your bulletin one more time. In 1 Corinthians, where did Matthew come from? 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 3 this time. So he asked the question, now he goes on in defense of his apostleship. He says, my answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? So first Paul establishes his apostleship, and then he establishes that there are rights or provisions ordained by God for his servants that he has not taken advantage of it. Now let's go back to the Old Testament and take a look at that. Go back to Leviticus chapter 10, page 89 in a few Bibles. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter number 10, we see that God established early on that his priests were to be fed from the sacrifices brought forth by the people. They were to be taken care of by the worshipers of God. And Paul here is asking the question, saying, do not I have the right to take advantage of that which God established? So what did God establish and for what purpose? We find that in Leviticus 10, beginning in verse number 8. He says, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy. Now this is the calling This is the calling of the priest, which I believe transfers to the calling of the apostle, which I believe transfers to the calling of the ambassadors, which I believe transfers to the calling that God has placed on you and I, that we would be those which would show the difference between that which is holy and unholy, and he goes on to say, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. This was the calling. The kingdom of God is at hand, is how that translates into the New Testament. It says, and Moses spake unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left, take the meat offering that remaineth of the offering of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. And ye shall eat it in the holy place, because it is thy due and thy son's due of the sacrifices of the Lord made by fire, for so I have commanded. And the wave breast and heave shoulder shall ye eat in a clean place, thou and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, for they be thy due and thy son's due, which are given out of the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. The heave shoulder and the wave breast shall they bring with the offering made by fire of the fat, to wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thine and thy sons with thee by a statute forever, as the Lord hath commanded. Translation, it is the responsibility of the people to meet the needs of the priest. Amen. And that's what God is showing. And what Paul is establishing is that God has done this, and it is God's design, but Paul was a man who was so humble. Paul did not want anything to scar his ministry, anything to get in the way of his reaching the people. So that Paul said, my answer to them that examine me is this. Do I not have the power to eat and to drink, to do what God established? Amen. Do I not have the power to have a wife and to have her also taken care of? Do I not have the power to have children and to have them also supported by the ministry? But he says, I didn't do any of that. Paul was honored to be able to serve the Lord, but careful not to let anything stand in the way of the people seeing Christ in everything that he did. In everything that he did. And you know, there's a fine line for me. I was going to say for the preachers of the day, I'm going to say for me. There is a fine line between support from the ministry and the appearance of wanting to take advantage of the support of the ministry. There's a fine line there. Amen. Because so many have taken advantage of it that people now have the expectation that folks are in it for the money. Amen. But you know what? God says it's not about the finances. It's about the heart. Amen. And the heart has got to be for the people of God.
Amen.
The heart has got to be for the people of God. It just reminded me one more time what Paul said about the meat. If it's me, then I don't want it. If it's going to offend a brother. It's like God said in his word. He says, you know what? If your eye offends you, then he says, pluck it out. Get rid of it. Anything that will interfere with our relationship with God, God says, move it out of the way. And Paul was so committed, so humble to be a part of the ministry of God. He said, anything that might interfere with the ministry of God, he said, I don't want anything to do with it. It says something about what was going on in Corinth. There was suspicion there, I believe. And Paul said, none of that suspicion am I going to let stand in the way of people coming to know our Father.
Amen.
Coming to know our Father. Amen. So now I want to show you what Paul said to Timothy as he prepared Timothy for his ministry. Flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Just a couple of verses. 1 Timothy chapter 1, page 876. Paul, he was really honored to be able to serve God. And Paul thought very little of himself. And he saw it a great honor to be able to serve God. And I believe that he as long as he kept things in perspective for himself, it made it possible that he might be able to give his all to God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is what he says in preparing Timothy for his ministry. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's what he thought about himself. He says, I'm the chiefest of sinners. He says, howbeit for this cause, because I was such a sinner, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them that shall hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You know what Paul is saying, that he says, you know what, God is using me, and I just can't mess that up. He said, God, let me go on and let me go on and let me go on. He let me persecute. He let me bind people. He let me hurt people. He says, and then he forgave me in an instant. And he says, and why did he do that? So that other people could see, if he could save Paul, then certainly he can save me. And maybe better still, if he would save Paul, if he would forgive Paul, certainly he would forgive me.
Amen.
Paul says, I'm the chiefest of sinners, but God just put up with me, and he put up with me so that we might all understand that he is a God who forgives, so that hereafter people might believe on him to life everlasting. He was humbled.
Amen.
He was humbled to be God's servant. He was humbled to be God's servant. I think he was saying there were some things that he was entitled to. Not because of who he was, but because of who God had called him to be. But he was saying, I've rejected these. Yeah, I have the power, but I've rejected them so that the ministry might be blameless and so that the gospel of Christ might have full access to the hearts of the people. Now, there are those who sought to destroy Paul's ministry, but he was determined to make it not possible. He was determined to make it not possible as his enemies were persecuting him. Maybe Paul could always be a step ahead of them because he knew a thing or two about how to persecute. You know, he had already been doing that. He knew their tactics, so maybe he could be a step ahead. But Paul was honored to be God's man, and he was wise enough to know that if he allowed himself to get in the way, that it would have some negative effects on his ministry. And he was compelled by his love for the Lord. Not only had he seen Christ, but he had experienced Christ in his heart. And that had changed Paul forever. He had been forgiven. He had killed and he had imprisoned people. He had separated people. He had tortured people. He had chained people. He had done terrible things. But in one instant, guys, he was forgiven. And his eyes were blinded. And when they were opened by the truth of God's word. And I think that truth became like a burning hot lava down inside of Paul. When he got it, he transferred that zeal that he had for wanting to persecute the church into a zeal for wanting everybody to know Jesus in the same way that he knew Jesus.
Amen.
And it became like lava in an erupting volcano, and it just spilled out everywhere he went. And he just wanted to tell people. And he didn't have time to brag on himself. And he didn't have time to worry about, you know, the expense of doing the ministry. All he had time to worry about was the gospel and keeping the gospel blameless. And that's what Paul's establishing to the people here, that he did all that he did so that his ministry might always be without blame. So that the people might always be able to say that Paul preached Christ and Christ crucified. Two more pieces of scripture will be done. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because, you know, when we were talking this morning about praying for people to come to know Christ, one of the things that we have to make sure that we remember is that there is an urgency. Because we aren't promised tomorrow. None of us are. And Paul understood that. He had an urgency about his ministry, and he knew that every day was precious. Precious but not promised. And he used every day well. And as he went about teaching, he taught the churches that today is the day of salvation. That if you're hearing the gospel, then take advantage of the gospel. And in his second letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 5, we see that he carries forth that message. He says, I'm honored, I'm humbled, but I see that there's an urgency to tell you about Christ. In verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 5, the Bible says this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you. We're not bragging on ourselves, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. He says there are going to be people out there. There are people. There were people in Corinth who were trying to destroy Paul's ministry. But Paul says, I want you to see. I want you to see my heart. He says, for whether, verse 13, we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us. And that word really means he compels us. We cannot stop because we know Christ. He says, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He says, you know what? I'm no longer my own man. He says, this gospel, this message, God's calling has a hook on me. And he says, I am just compelled to tell people about who Jesus is. Not for my own glory, but for God's.
Amen.
Verse 16, he says, wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's where Paul sees the whole process, guys, of duplication. He says, God has given me this ministry. When he gave it to me, it was a blameless ministry. Christ, I met him on the road to Damascus. It was him by himself. He showed me his heart. He told me his mission. He told me that he was going to send me out to the Gentiles. He says, and he gave me everything that I need to go out and do that. And he says, and it is a ministry of reconciliation to show men how that they might be reconciled to God. I don't need to add to it. I don't need to take away from it. He says, to wit, verse 19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
Blameless,
amen.
Honored, humbled.
Amen.
That's who Paul was. He said, it's all Paul's letters say, it's not about me. It's about you and your relationship with God. It's about you and your relationship with God. Now, Paul, when Paul preached the same message from Damascus, the road to Damascus, all the way through the end of his road. And near the end of his life, as Paul was separating himself from his friends and he was preparing to go and to meet with kings as God had prophesied that he would and to share the gospel. Paul shows himself to be an honorable man, yet an humble man, completely committed to declaring that the kingdom of God was at hand. Look at Acts chapter 20. We'll close out here. He speaks about the honor to serve God. Page 821 in your Bibles. He speaks here about the honorable way that he served the Lord. And I believe that in reading this passage, as it was recorded about Paul, it shows us that those who knew his heart, they saw his heart, and they praised God for Paul's work among them. That from beginning to end, Paul was a man of honor, but Paul was humbled to be called an apostle, to be used by God to take forth his message. I was just thinking about how Paul put it in Romans when he was talking to the people. He says, my heart's desire is that all of Israel might be saved. And I believe that was his motivation. Everywhere he went, he was looking for salvation, looking to see what God was going to do. In Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse number 17, speaks of Paul's journeys, speaks as Paul as he says goodbye to some of his friends that he expects to not see again. It says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came from Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. There were some who would seek to destroy his ministry, he said. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is at hand. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. And you know what? We cannot miss that Paul was going to go as a prisoner. But Paul says he was really bound in the Spirit. It wasn't the physical chains that was taking him to Jerusalem, but it was the spiritual chains that were taking him there. God had grabbed a hold of his heart. And everything he did with an urgency. He did to honor God. And he says, I'm going because God told me in the beginning that this is exactly the life that he had laid out for me. I must go. I'm bound to go. He says, even though I don't know what's going to meet me there, what's going to befall me there. He says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city. He says, God's going to go with me. And God's going to give me a chance to tell people everywhere I go, saving that bonds and afflictions abide me. He said, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It's an honor, he says. I don't care what happens to me, but it's an honor to be able to carry forth the word of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's his commitment to those that he had had an opportunity to witness to. He says, keep doing what God has called upon you to do. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. He says, I had the power. I did. But he says, I didn't take anything from you. He says, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and he prayed with them all. That's his heart. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Honored, humble, a servant of the Lord, God's apostle. Where was his heart? His heart was in the ministry. His heart was in being that ambassador. His heart was taking forth the gospel day and night, weeping, showing them publicly what it meant to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not an apostle, but I am a saint. And not because of what I've done, but because of what Christ has done for me. And I'm numbered with those saints that were at Corinth. Those saints who believed even before Corinth, we're numbered with them. Who were sanctified in Christ Jesus with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. In Hebrews, we see that hall of faith, the hall of faith famers, or however it's called. God saw fit to have Paul to include all of those folks there because they had shown themselves to be honored in the work of God, yet humble before Him. God's expectation for all of us is that we might be like Paul, like Christ. Follow Him as He follows Christ. That we might be honored in the work of God, yet always understand that the glory, all glory, belongs to God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for Paul, who set himself as an example, and for your Holy Spirit that inspired him to record it all for us. I pray, Lord, that we might each take on our own part of your mission, that we might each declare in our hearts that we're going to share that the kingdom of God is at hand, that we will share it publicly, that we will share it privately, that we will live it, that we will walk it, that we will talk it, so that a world who is without Christ might have opportunity to come to know Him. Lord, I'm thankful for what you have shared with us, that you have opened the mystery of your word to us, that you open it to us every time that we commit ourselves to your word. I pray that there might be a true commitment from each one of us, that we might be praying that you would show us things that we've never seen before, that you would impress upon our hearts, Lord, the truth of your gospel, and that the truth of your gospel might constrain us, compel us to talk more about you, to show more about you, to be more about you, Father, I pray. Lord, I'm thankful for who you are and for your presence in my life and your presence in the lives of all those who believe, the saints. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Amen.